I was at a table last week talking to some friends, and the couple at the next table were reading the menu. The man said to his wife, "Oh, I should get this because it's highlighted in red, and that means it's special." And that's exactly what he did. And do you know why he did that? Because of a concept called menu engineering. And that's what we're going to talk about today, menu engineering. Hey, it's Peter Harmon, the Food Guru, here with your weekly pep talk. My goal is to teach restaurant owners, managers, and chefs just like you to focus on 8 basic fundamentals that lead to a better life and financial freedom. Today, we're going to talk about the art and science of menu engineering. I'm going to show you how you can earn more money by making a few simple changes to the menu you have today. Let's dive right in. Thing one, the term menu engineering refers to the restaurant menu analysis method developed by Michael L. Cassavana and Donald J. Smith at the Michigan State School of Business in 1982. These guys introduced us to the menu engineering terms stars, dogs, puzzles, and plow horses. These terms are still relevant today. So let's take a quick look at what they mean. A star is a popular menu item that has a high profit margin. Big sales, big profit. A dog is an unpopular menu item that has a low profit margin. That means low popularity, low profit. A puzzle has low sales and a high profit margin, which means it has low popularity and a high profit. And a plow horse has high sales and low profit. It's very popular, but it doesn't make a lot of money. The goal of menu engineering is to help you position your stars so you can sell more of them. Re-engineer your puzzles so you can sell more of them. And then raise the price of your plow horses so you can make more money on them and eliminate or re-engineer your dogs. Thing two, cost the menu. Menu engineering involves many detailed activities. The first step is to cost every item on your menu. Costing the menu is an activity that most restaurant owners and managers don't do or they refuse to do. And this is a big problem. Hey, not knowing what things cost is one of the main reasons that restaurants go out of business. Seriously, if you own a restaurant and haven't taken the time to figure out what everything on your menu costs to prepare, you're kidding yourself. And you're most likely struggling to pay your bills. The fact is, you need to cost every item on your food and your bar menu. Could you imagine Apple not knowing exactly what it costs to make and sell an iPhone? Well, it would never happen, because Apple is a serious company that takes their business seriously. Let's take a look and see what costing a menu looks like. First, we calculate exactly what every item on our menu costs to prepare. That means we grab our invoices and figure out what things cost. You need to print out your recipes to determine what your portions are and come up with a cost for every menu item. Then we run a menu score or a product mix report to see how many of each item we have sold over a certain period of time, whether it's a month, a quarter, or a year. When I do this exercise, I like to take the menu and write there's two numbers right on the menu, right next to the price of the item. So we can all see the price of the item, how many we sold, and what the profit margin for each item is right where it counts. And when we do that, something always jumps out at us that needs to be fixed or improved. It also tells us what we make the most money on, something you will never know unless you go through the menu costing exercise. Now, I also create an Excel document with categories for menu item, number sold, cost of the item, profit of the item, and the food cost percentage for each item. When you do this, be sure you divide your menu items by category, such as entree, appetizer, salads, soups, and side dishes. Now, we do this because we want to compare entrees to entrees to determine which are the most popular and profitable. And then we do the same thing with the other categories, appetizer, starters. And we also do it with salads, side dishes, and desserts. Now, this is important Because imagine you're a full service restaurant and people come in for dinner. Most people buy an entree and then they add on an appetizer or a starter, and then they add salads and sides. I hope you get the idea. Okay, so we use this information to reimagine or re-engineer our menu. We study this information and reimagine how we might improve our ability to sell our best items in a more profitable way. We use menu design and menu placement to influence what the guest orders. That's right. We use psychology to influence the guest's attention and perception. This is not manipulation. This is simply smart business. Every time I do this exercise, I learn something valuable. And more importantly, so do my people. The net result is always we end up putting more money on the bottom line. And we also have a happier customer and a happier wait staff because they make more money too. So in addition to that, here's some things to consider when pricing your menus. Some menu items are commodities. A commodity is something like a burger, mac and cheese that every restaurant offers. Now you must keep these items within the same price range as your competition in your style of restaurant, you know, fast food, fast casual, or upscale. Some menu items are signature items. Now, this means that the item is something that you are really good at, something special that you do, such as Mama Luigi's clam pizza. The good news is that you can charge more for these specialty items than you can for a commodity item because they are special or unique. And then there are super special or one-of-a-kind items that are unique to you and your restaurant. For example, all coffee joints sell a large cup of coffee, but you can only get a venti at Starbucks. Here's one. I sell chicken lips. This is a unique branded product that my restaurants have been famous for decades. You know, every restaurant in the U.S. has a restaurant that has a cult item that people love and go crazy for. My chicken lips fill that cult need in Burlington, Iowa and Iowa City. People bring their friends to my places so they can turn them on to their favorite food. This means I have a monopoly on chicken lips, and I can charge whatever I want. Because if you love lips, you have to come to me to get them. Thing three, let's move on to menu psychology. Now it's time to go inside the mind of the customer. Menu engineers say when people read a menu, their eyes naturally start at the top right corner. So the items that you want to sell the most should be in the top right corner. Here's how it works. Our eyes go to the top right of a menu, or any written document for that matter. Then they go to the top left and then around counterclockwise back to the top right. So the top right is the best spot to put the stuff you really want to sell, your entrees. Menu engineers say, put your most profitable stuff in a box just below the top right. This is known as the sweet spot. This works the same for a single or double panel menus, but it gets a lot more complicated for 3 and 4 panel menus. In fact, everything is way more complicated with these huge menus. But I like to put my entrees in the top right corner of the menu. And I put the one that I want to sell the most either on top of the list or in a box so it stands out. I also give it a little bit more description than other items so people know that it's special. Romance, persuasion. There's two words for you. I'm not talking about wordy verbs. I'm talking about making it sound delicious. The menu engineers also say that you should have about 7 items in each category and place the ones that you want to sell in the number 1 or number 2 spot and then in the bottom spot. They say we remember the first 2 and the last item the best, and the items that are in the middle tend to get lost in the jumble. Now, in addition to placement on the menu, there are a few other mind tricks you can use. We can use boxes, borders, bold text, color, photos, and symbols to call attention to the items we want to sell. I'm not a big fan of pictures, but they do work, especially in lower price menus, as long as the pictures are terrific. Now, you can also put a box around your most popular or profitable item in each category. Or you can highlight them in red. Or you can use a symbol to call attention to a signature item or a house-made specialty that you want to sell. You can also use table tents. That's right, a table tent to call attention to the things you want your customers to buy. Hey, don't be afraid to drive your customers to the item you want to sell. Now, please pay attention to this. I believe it's far more important to take a long view and work on getting the customer to come back again and again and again and bring their friends than it is to gouge them once. You've heard of ROI, return on investment. Well, the best way to build a business is with ROG, return of the guest. Personally, I want to sell my best items, not just my most expensive items. I say, if we manipulate customers to buy something expensive and they don't love it, we lose. I mean, think about it. We only go back to the restaurants we love. We tell our friends about the restaurants and the menu items we love. Getting someone to spend $5 or more on something they think is just okay is silly. We need to sell them something they will love. I don't call attention to the most expensive stuff on my menu. I call attention to my best stuff. Now, to be fair, I also make sure my best stuff is the most profitable. The best way of all to get people to buy what you want them to buy is to have a very small menu. There are also some other things you can do to call attention to a specific menu item. Isolate the item with a lot of empty space around it. It'll make it stand out. Put some kind of mark or symbol next to the item. Increase the font size of the item you want them to buy so they can't miss it. Make a huge table tent and promote the item. Put a poster of it on the wall. If your local food critic or newspaper or the Food Network said that one of your items is great, then put that on the menu. It'll really help you add credibility. And get the waiters and the servers to talk it up. Get your staff to sell it. Have a contest. The best way to sell something is to have someone who loves it describe it to the guest. The best way of all to get people to buy what you want them to buy is to have a very small menu. Okay, thing four, reimagine and re-engineer. Here's how to go through the reimagine and re-engineering process. The feel of your menu must match the feel of your decor and price point. Steakhouses tend to have large, manly menus, and sushi restaurants tend to have modern and minimalistic menus. The font that you choose says something about you. There's a big difference between Comic Sans, New Time Roman, and Broadway. Hey, don't list your prices on the far right side of the menu because it makes the customer read down the right and then go to the left and find out what they're going to have. If you do that, they're only going to choose the cheapest thing. And don't use dots to connect the item to the price. Hey, don't laugh. This used to happen all the time, and there are still some Neanderthals and knuckle draggers who still do it today. This makes the customer select what they're going to eat by how much it costs. And don't use dollar signs, because it reinforces the fact that this stuff costs money. And don't bold your prices. It draws your eye directly to them and has the same effect as putting them on the far right with dots and a dollar sign. It's better to nest your prices. This means put them two spaces after the description and bump the font size down one or two sizes because numbers often look larger than letters, and that depends on what font you're using. But don't use a different font because it might stick out even worse. Menu engineers say, if your average check is less than $20, use numbers like $8.99 or $5 or $6.59. Personally, I hate 59 cents as opposed to 99 cents because I know the customer doesn't see the difference, and the 40 cents times 1,000 people a week adds up really fast. If you're an upscale place, you can use a single number like 16 or 29 or 35. I feel the same way about 17, 18, and 19 as I do 49 and 59 cents. I say take the extra dollar or two and put it in the bank. See, the big step is between $19 and $20, not $17 and $18. They both start with a one. And I know people aren't stupid, but I'm telling you, they don't care about a dollar, especially if you have a good experience and great food. Now, some places spell the word out, like 20, T-W-E-N-T-Y, or 30. This is totally up to you. Okay, let's move on to the next thing. Menu costing. Now, I want to talk about something you don't hear the menu engineers talk about, and that's pricing philosophy. We need to consider what we need our average check to be. If our budget says we need to serve 1,000 people a week at an average check of $40, that means we need to do $40,000 a week in sales. Our menu must reflect this reality. Our menu must be designed to help each guest spend $40 or $50. And the waiters must be trained to make this happen. We must train our waiters to guide the guests through the dining experience and sell. If your waiters can't get your customers to the average check you need, something is drastically wrong and you must look at the waiter and your menu engineering for the solution. Here's an important question. What is a seat worth in your restaurant? If you need the guests to spend $40 per person, then you can't have a $15 chicken entree on your menu or a $12 pasta entree. It's suicide. But we see it done every day in restaurants, right? And you're probably doing it too. Most people are. It's really something to think about. Here's another thing that I want to point out. Some menu engineers say you should jack up the price of a menu item you don't want to sell. Or you should put the unpopular items in a weak position on your menu, so it's almost hidden. I say, why put it on the menu at all if you're not excited about it? There are exceptions. For example, if I have to put a burger on my steakhouse menu, I don't want to sell it, so I jack up the price so the burger has the same profit margin as my other entrees or a steak. And I would do this because every seat has a value and I need to get 40 or 50 or 60 bucks out of every seat to make my numbers work. The food guru says you'll never make it up on volume. Here's another thing to consider. First, the guest is going to order an entree, and then we must sell them a salad and a side to go with that entree. And then, if we're smart, we will sell the table a shareable appetizer or a starter. And we will use menu engineering tools to point out the salad, sides, and starters that we want to sell. Here's another thing that is probably the most important part of this podcast. Most restaurant owners cost their menu and multiply the cost times 3 to determine the price. I believe this is good in a perfect world, but we don't live in a perfect world. The pricing of your menu is very complicated and is a much deeper subject than I can cover in one podcast. You must cost your menu so that you can earn enough money to pay your bills and earn enough to have a good life. Your labor cost and overhead are big things to consider when costing your menu. This is why it costs more to eat in a beachfront restaurant than it does in a strip mall. A friend of mine owns a bunch of restaurants, and he says we need to run a 25% food cost and a 25% bar cost. Otherwise, we're dead. I think that's pretty good advice, and most likely where we're headed as restaurant owners in the future. The last point, and most importantly, the flawless execution of your menu is critical. People will forgive you for a high price, but they will never forgive you for bad service and low quality. Aldo Gucci said it best. Quality will be remembered long after the price is forgotten. So in conclusion, your menu is the single most important tool in your restaurant. Your menu tells the world who you are and what you are. Think about that for a second. How does a new person decide to dine with you? Either a friend tells them to go to you, or they just happen to walk in the door, or they do an online search. Your menu is the tool to persuade your potential customer to come and dine with you. This means you must design your menu in such a way as to attract the customer. Isn't this what you do when you go traveling to a new city and are looking for a great place to eat? You Google about and read menus and look at pictures and read reviews, right? Well, that's exactly what your customers are doing. The goal is to design your menu in such a way that the customer who dines with you will be delighted and return again and again, and you will earn a great living for many years to come. My name is Peter Harmon. I am the Food Guru. My goal is to start a restaurant revolution where every restaurant owner and manager who joins us has the information they need to earn a 10% profit, create financial freedom, and live the life of their dreams. If you're ready to take action and move your restaurant to the next level, here's my simple plan. Subscribe to this podcast. This weekly pep talk will keep you on your toes and give you inspiration and information to keep you moving forward. Number two is buy my book. I've written a book called Restauranting 101. It focuses on 8 basic fundamentals, and it has the power to change your life today. And it's available on Amazon. Hey, you buy lots of things on Amazon. Just go to Amazon, search Peter Harmon, Restauranting 101, and buy it today. And yes, you need to sit down and read. After that, I want you to come to foodguru.com and sign up for a one-on-one coaching session. This is not a big webinar with a bunch of people. This is simply you and me working together to solve your problems. What if there was a way for you to increase your sales by 10% twice? What if everyone you worked with loved their job, showed up on time every day, and got important things done on time every day? What if your people stayed with you for years instead of weeks or months? What if every customer you serve has a great experience and they return again and again and they bring their friends and their friends bring their friends? Wow. What if you could focus on the most fun, productive, important parts of your job? The parts that make a real difference and move you and your people forward toward the life of your dreams? What if this leads to deeper, richer relationships with everyone you come in contact with? Better health, prolonged happiness, financial wealth, and more personal freedom than ever before. And best of all, what if you could achieve all this in the next 90 days? Would you be interested? I want to be your coach. When the student is ready, the food guru will appear. This week, your homework assignment is to cost your menu. Contact me if you need any help. I love costing menus. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week.